Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I feel compelled to do a real estate update because we are getting closer to the edge of what I believe is a chasm larger than that seen in the global financial crisis. And I'll tell you the reasons why and some evidence that I found over the last few months. Blackstone Mortgage Trust, Inc. is a company that provides financing for commercial real estate. And it has just cut its dividend by 24%. As defaults increase and borrowers struggle to keep current on payment obligations. Commercial real estate mortgage trusts have been under increasing stress due to higher interest rates and falling property values, which have triggered new waves of defaults, particularly for owners and lenders to office spaces. Earlier this year, KKR, Real Estate Finance Trust, Inc., and Ares Commercial Real Estate Corp. cut their dividends by 42 and 24% respectively. This according to Bloomberg. Most of the Blackstone Trust's troubled loans were in U.S. office buildings, which make up about 25% of its outstanding loans. U.S. office values have fallen 37% from their early 2022 peak, compared with a 20% drop for all commercial property. That is huge. Blackstone Trust shares are down over 15% this year in what has been a very decent market, especially in the headline averages. This could create a death spiral for commercial real estate and commercial mortgage-backed securities. Fund withdrawals are triggering distressed property sales into a faltering and illiquid market. Banks are in real trouble, not only because of commercial mortgage-backed securities, but because of residential mortgage-backed securities and CLOs and private credit and business loans that are distressed, and credit card debt and auto loan debt. There's a bunch of bad debt coming to banks. In fact, my friend Chris Whalen noted that mortgage-backed securities account for 100% of all the capital that exists in the banking system. Think about that. And there are going to be a lot of problems in that arena. They're happening already. Continuing on with my analysis for the home and real estate market. Existing home sales in the U.S. slumped to the slowest pace since 2010 in June. There is now a record low number of real estate transactions during what is normally the busiest time of the year for home sales. Inventory is also up nearly 30% year over year nationally. Contract closings decreased 5.4% from May to a 3.89 million annualized rate, according to the National Association of Realtors. That marked the fourth straight month of a decline in the month-over-month reading. Sales are down, but prices reached another record, with the median sales price of an existing home up 4.1% to $426,900. In June, there were 1.32 million homes for sale, the most since October of 2020, but still well below the 1.9 million that were listed for sale just before the pandemic in June of 2019. That means at the current sales rate, it would take 4.1 months to exhaust that supply. That is the longest monthly supply in 4 years. New home sales declined to a seven-month, these are new home sales, declined to a seven-month low in June. Here's what I found interesting. In the southern portion of the U.S., the number of new homes for sale hit a record high, 293,000 units. The previous high of new homes for sale, these are newly built, not existing homes, but newly built homes for sale. That level, that inventory level, previous high was 291,000 back in August of 2006. We're at 293,000 today. Cancellations of home buying contracts hit a level of 56,000 in June. That is 15% of all signed contracts getting busted. And that is the highest cancellation rate since 2017. For me, the background behind home values is the most salient issue, and it has never been more unstable. To start with, the valuation of home prices has never been more stretched. Of course, home prices have never been higher in nominal terms. The Case-Shiller Home Price Index now stands at 323.4. This index was 184 back at the peak of the housing bubble of 2006. But to put the price level in proper context, you have to put it in a ratio to incomes. So in the home price to income ratio now is 7.7. It was 6.8 back in 2006 and just 4.3 in the year 2000. This is according to data from long-term trends. I have my own data that shows home price to income ratios at 5.5 and the previous peak was 5. But various sources show that the home price to medium family income, medium home price to medium family income, is way above where it was in 2006, the previous bubble. Hence, we have the most overvalued real estate market in history. But what about the quality of home ownership? That is crucially and vitally important. How stable are the loans behind these mortgages? In general, banks have been better about making sure loan applicants are more qualified. They must have a job and they have to have a pretty solid down payment in most cases and a pretty decent credit score. However, enter the U.S. government to screw it all up. FHA loans now total $34 billion. This figure was just $3.4 billion back in 2008. Remember, FHA loans are made to individuals with a low credit score and have a down payment of only 3.5%. The number of FHA loans are up 900% since the global financial crisis. But these loans are government insured. They're government backed loans, so I'm sure there's nothing to be concerned about here. To add to the fragility of this market construct, 25% of all single family homes are investor owned properties. Meaning, between FHA loans and investors, the shadow inventory is enormous. The shadow inventory of loans that could come on the market is enormous. Enormous. Once the economy falters, it will cause the unemployment rate to spike, which has already started, and home prices will begin to fall. This means FHA loans will quickly become underwater. I mean, after all, a slight price drop of just 3.5% means the homeowners have zero equity in the home. If prices fall further from there, the calculation will be, why continue to pay back a loan to a bank when the mortgage is worth more than the house? This is even more true when you have to pay taxes, insurance, and maintenance costs on top of that mortgage. Mailing back the keys and renting makes much more sense, especially when you have a credit score that is already in the tank. Also, investors are sitting on a huge increase in the value of their home purchased in the past 4 years. It's up over 50% on average in the past 4 years. If these investors see their income stream drying up because, a renter who has lost their job stops paying the rent, and then the price of the home begins to deteriorate because of the supply of homes coming on the market, then the incentive to take profits will be enormous. Remember, that is 1/4 of all homes that aren't occupied by the owner. But Wall Street is begging for the Fed to start cutting rates and give them another bailout. Oh, how nauseating is to hear the questions. We had this FOMC press conference today, and almost all the questions are, from Wall Street media. Why can't you just cut rates now? Why wait? It was so nauseating. Let's look at some facts. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage rate has declined to 6.87 in the week ending July 12th from this year's peak of 7.29% in April. However, that rate is still twice the level from the end of 2021, that mortgage rate. But more and faster rate cuts are anticipated. So here's the punchline I want to give to all those media types that were begging Powell to start cutting rates now. Rate cuts have already been fully priced into the bond market. While the Fed funds rate is currently 5.35%, the 10-year note has already retreated to just 4.1%. The four or so rate cuts promised by the Fed over the next few quarters has been very well thoroughly telegraphed to the markets. Those rate cuts would still leave the Fed funds rate in a positive position after inflation, and the yield curve would still be inverted. Mortgage rates are priced off of the benchmark U.S. Treasury, which has fallen from 5% in October of last year to 4.1% now, as I just mentioned. Likewise, the 30-year fixed rate has dropped from 7.8% in October of 2023 to 6.8% today. In other words, the Fed will just be following the markets lower when it fulfills its promise to cut short-term interest rates. However, the long end of the yield curve is priced off of inflation expectations and the insolvent or solvent condition of the United States. Well, the bad news on that front is the U.S. government is insolvent. Assets minus liabilities, including its unfunded liabilities, is a negative number. And inflation is just coming off record highs seen 2 years ago and is still above the Fed's, as I affectionately call it, asinine 2% target. Therefore, pursuing a retreat back to zero interest rate policies and quantitative easing right now would probably send the long-term yield curve soaring. Long-term rates would probably soar, not go lower. The truth is, stubbornly high inflation will prevent the Fed from surprising the market and aggressively cutting interest rates to try and proactively bail out the housing market and economy. The Federal Open Market Committee meeting and statement for July clearly states that there will be no rate cut for you until September 18th at the earliest. A little tiny 25 basis point cut about a month and a half from now. Powell is just not going to panic into a rate cutting cycle until it is too late, because Powell and the rest of the FOMC carnival show, they react in arrears to data that is lagging. So what else can they do but make mistakes? Their model is completely broken. And even if he did cut rates aggressively to further bankrupt the middle class of this nation, the negative inflationary consequences to yields could be pernicious. There is no easy escape. Pento Portfolio Strategies is fully prepared for the chaos to come. Are you?
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.